carries a pale blue suitcase along a deserted seafront. She is young and pretty, with fine long blonde hair pulled back in a ponytail. She looks out over the sea. The waves roll in from the murky grey sea. Sean Dingwall, Kellyn Jones. The bright sun is reflected in a tidal pool. Michelle Holmes, Amanda Lawrence. Edward McLeam, Hildegard Neal. Written by Linda LaPlante. Adapted from the novel The Red Dahlia. Executive producers Linda LaPlante, Liz Thorburn. Produced by Chris Clough. Boys skateboarding in a graffiti-strewn skate park. Directed by Gillies McKinnon. One teenager skates up a ramp and comes to an abrupt halt. He spots a naked body lying under a nearby tree. Above suspicion, the Red Dahlia. Gloved hands unzip a tent from inside. DCI Morgan emerges, coughing.
Well, let's examine the body, shall we?
No, no, I don't want you going in there. Less contamination, the better. Get moving on setting up the incident room. Never seen anything like it. Beggars belief. She's been sliced in two. Her skin is like a white china doll. God, my chest hurts.
DC Anna Travis looks thoughtful.
Whoever killed her placed her body so she'd be found quickly.
The crime scene swarms with police. Anna eyes roads and houses nearby. At the police station.
I want details of all cars, vans, trucks parked in the area. Search all skips and bins for handbags, clothes, shoes, anything.
Never looked at the side of the river before.
I know, I had to catch two buses to get here.
Do we know any details yet?
No, not yet. Morgan's given the uniforms their marching orders.
My God, that does not look real.
This is the worst part.
Sticking up photographs.
Look at this.
Barbara, look at the board.
The victim's pale face with mouth slit.
Can you cover her face?
It's a blow-up doll, isn't it?
But it's in two halves.
Attention, everybody.
Coughing, DCI Morgan addresses the gathered officers.
We have a female victim, aged between 20 and 30. Naked, but with nothing to identify her. So that'll be our priority. Find out who the poor soul is.
We got anything in from pathology? We're kind of working blind, you know. It's hard to sort of see what she really looked like because of that slash to her mouth.
DCR Morgan's been at the lab all afternoon. He looked terrible. He should be in bed, as it is, he's spreading his germs.
Miles. Done 100 door-to-doors and no one's seen anything, apparently. Have we got anything from the post-mortem yet?
No.
Well, there's no one fitting a description from this area reported missing.
Anyone try to contact DCI Morgan?
Not recently.
I'll do it.
Tea, anybody?
A trolley of sandwiches.
Somebody must have really hated her to do that to her. Cut her face like that.
Well, I don't think we're looking at some kind of domestic violence.
Oh, really, Barbara? Very incisive. What do you think we're looking for then? I mean, it would take some kind of a psychopath with a ready chainsaw in his bathroom.
Yeah. What?
Anna is on the phone.
Okay, thank you. DCI Morgan's been taken to hospital suffering with pneumonia.
Told you he was sick.
Right, listen up, everybody. Well, picnic time, is it? For those of you who don't know me, I'm Detective Chief Inspector James Langton. I will now be heading up this inquiry due to the inability of DCI Morgan to continue running the show. This is DI Mike Lewis. Some of you have worked with him before.
DCI Langton grabs a sandwich.
So, do we have her identified yet?
Langton is a thick-set, middle-aged man with cropped hair. He checks the photographs.
Oh, my.
The victim's gruesome slashed mouth. Driving in a car.
By now, Travis, you should be used to post-mortem procedure.
Yes, sir, I've worked 3 cases now.
Good, because we don't want you crashing out and vomiting.
D.I. Lewis sniggers. He is driving Langton and Anna. A doctor meets them at the morgue.
Ah, no need to gown up. I'm ahead of you. I'm going to need a bit more time for the finer details. Her injuries are extensive. Are you taking over?
Correct. Running up.
Poor DCI Morgan was in a really bad way. I had him shipped off to hospital before
let's get cracking. Enough time's been wasted already.
Not on my part.
Langton strides ahead.
Your victim was between 24 and 30 years old, 5 feet 5 inches tall and 56 kilograms. The mutilation was done very professionally, perhaps by someone with surgical experience. Slicing through a body, cutting through muscle tissue and then carefully through the spinal cord not only takes time, but these incisions are very neat and clean. The body was drained of blood before being severed. There are incisions made to the femoral artery and the right jugular vein. Again, this is no easy feat. One would require a pump and tubes. The cuts to her face were made with a scalpel. They are deep, slicing through the cheek to give the impression
that she's smiling.
Yeah. There's extensive bruising to sections of the head, forehead and midline. Some of the hair's been shaved off. Her hair dyed, by the way. She's a natural blonde. You can see a tiny bit of regrowth in the parting. There's further bruising to her arms and thighs and restraint marks on her wrists and ankles. Now, all of this would have taken some considerable time. Judging by the marks on her body, she would have had to be tied down. Badly bitten fingernails, by the way.
Did you get any fibers or anything that might help us?
No, her body was scrubbed clean with a rough brush, leaving nothing on her skin bar the abrasions.
And the time of death?
Within the last 36 hours. We're still working on her internal organs and toxicology have samples, but without her blood, we're not going to turn up anything satisfactory. I've taken hair and tissue samples for her DNA profile. DCI Morgan asked if we could help provide a photograph for identification of her face without the injuries.
The corpse, a pretty woman with wavy black hair, lies head to one side. The mutilated mouth slowly transforms back to normal, and she stirs into life. Her image disappears, replaced by the blonde woman on the seafront. Barbara and Joan are looking at the victim's photographs.
Somebody somewhere must know who she is. She was lovely.
I don't know. Look how many girls we checked out. She don't match any one of them.
We're retaining a complete press blackout on what has been done to the victim, but an identical picture went out this morning's papers, appealing for information, because until we know who she was, we'll get nowhere fast. Good of you to join us, Travis.
This is impossible, sir. It sounds as if she recognises our victim.
Female?
Yeah.
Travis, take it.
Hello, it's DC Travis. Can I have your name, please?
Yeah, look, we're not giving out information at the moment, I'm afraid.
What's the problem, mate?
Some journo from the Telegraph, Richard Reynolds.
Tell him to piss off. Yes, John.
I've got another caller says it could be his sister.
Look, cut through the dross, prioritise them, ask about colouring, height, age, and if it's a match, we'll bring them in.
Okay.
What is it, Travis?
I'm on the line, please. It's a Sharon Bilkin says that the missing girl is her flatmate.
When did she last see her?
3 days ago.
What, do we have a name?
Louise Pennell.
Oh, we'll get her address. Go on, see her.
Sharon Bilkin?
Hi. I've not got very long. I've got an audition this afternoon in the West End.
Anna enters Sharon's flat. In the morgue, Langton stands over the mutilated corpse, stroking his chin.
What kind of sick bastard would do all this?
I'm still working, but I thought you should know that your victim is missing a number of lower internal organs. What with this and the blood draining, it looks more likely that your killer has surgical experience.
This is Louise. She's trying to break into modelling like me. She had these done a few months back. It's her, isn't it, from the paper?
Flicking through a portfolio.
I'm going to have to ask you some questions, OK?
The photographs resemble the victim. Sharon waits impatiently. Anna removes one photo.
Can I take this?
Yeah. What's she done? Has she done something?
When was the last time you saw her?
Friday, we went to a club.
Flashback, Louise quaffs a neat vodka.
Well, I left her there and she didn't come back, but it's not unusual. Sometimes she stays out for days.
Does she work?
Yeah, part-time dental nurse. I mean, she gets paid peanuts because they're doing her teeth, you know, putting on caps.
Louise admires her teeth in a mirror.
What's she done?
I'm sorry to tell you this, but it's possible your friend may have been murdered.
Sharon's face falls.
Travis is bringing in the flatmate. No immediate family as yet. Veronica, is there any way you could clean her face up a bit?
DC Anna Travis escorts Sharon down a corridor in the hospital. Anna is a slim, attractive woman in her 20s, with a fringe, her red hair pulled back in a ponytail. They enter the morgue.
So I need you to look at this girl and tell me if you recognise her.
But I did from the photograph, you know, I said it was her.
I know, but we need to be sure, and with no next of kin.
Right.
You ready?
Yeah.
Anna looks to Veronica, who pulls back the covering sheet to reveal the bloated white face with slashed mouth.
What's been done to her? Her face? What's the matter with her face?
Is this Louise Pennell?
Why she look like that? What's happened to her?
Now we've got to work.
From another room, grim-faced Langton is watching with taciturn Lewis. Sharon leads Anna up to her house. A middle-aged woman peers through a window at them.
That's the landlady she ain't for hand.
Not a dirty laundry, but not many new clothes. Some evening gear looks expensive.
Searching Louise's room, Anna unzips a pink boot.
Ah, look at this. Very nice. Cashmere.
Anna retrieves a bundle of £50 notes.
And some new, hardly worn, compared with...
You reckon she was on the game?
You tell me. You don't get this kind of gear working part-time as a dental nurse.
I'm going to go talk to the landlady.
Anna is with the middle-aged landlady.
When was the last time you saw Miss Pennell?
They used to get back late, waking me up. But it would be... probably be last Friday. I saw her leave with Sharon. She had a flower in her hair. I remember that.
Did you ever see anyone with her? Anyone come visit?
No. Well, one night there was a ring on my doorbell. And there was this man there. Said he wanted her. Then he walked across the road to wait in his car.
Now we know who she is, Mike. What else have we got?
Well, she worked for a dentist, but got fired 3 weeks ago. His alibi checks out, says she was always late.
Paul, anything?
Not a lot. No letters or diary. Missing is a red coat with velvet collar and matching buttons. She was wearing it when...
No boyfriends.
It was an older guy she was seeing. The flatmate told Travis that Louise answered an advert somewhere, the Times. Or could it have been Time Out?
And?
She thinks she got the job, but doesn't know where it was. But she was asking about getting a passport, said she needed it for a new position.
Check her out.
Langton charges off.
She used to go out and meet him and come back with a lot of clothes and stuff. And one time she looked really done in, do you know what I mean? Like, she had a bruise on her face, said she'd fallen down the stairs.
Did you see him?
No.
Listen, sweetheart, we've no time to waste.
Tell me about this man she was seeing.
Well, he was... tall, dark-haired. He wore a long black coat.
This is DCI Langton.
Yeah, and he was giving her presents, right? Money?
Yeah, perfume. It was an old-fashioned one, smelled of lilac. And she started wearing odd makeup. Very pale, with lots of black eyeliner and red lipstick, like a goth or something out of the Addams Family. And when she went out, she started to pin a red rose in her hair.
Louise applies blood-red lipstick, a red flower in her hair.
Travis, I want you to go back to the landlady, jog her memory, see if she can come up with anything about this older bloke that was seeing the victim, and question the neighbours again. Have we got anything on this new job the victim was supposed to have?
We've only got a possible time, read the advert, but I'm checking with Time Out and the lady.
Well, remember, it's something that required a passport.
Well, that's not much to go on.
Well, right now, it's all we've bloody got. Keep at it.
Sharon said that Louise used to go to local cafes to get free meals off the men she met there.
Well, have you been down there?
Not yet.
Paul, check them out.
Got it. Better read this.
Louis hands a newspaper to his boss. Langton reads it while Anna comes over to join him.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Who cut Louise Pennell's mouth in two? How the hell did they get hold of that information?
Wait, this looks like the picture Sharon Bilkin had. It's not a dahlia, it's a rose.
We are going to get a load of calls from now on. As long as we hold off on the atrocities that Louise suffered, then maybe we can distinguish between the nutters and any real tippos.
To Anna.
Get over there and close this down.
A bustling newspaper office, the Daily Telegraph. A handsome 20-something man approaches Anna.
Hi. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. I'm Richard Reynolds.
Anna Travis.
Nice to meet you. Do you want to come through to the newsroom? Or if you prefer, we can bag someone's office. More private. Crime desks, a bit like Piccadilly Circus. Listen here. Take a seat. I'll get some coffee organised.
She sits on a low sofa in the private office. He sits beside her and she pulls her short skirt down.
How can I help?
Well, it's about the article you wrote about the murder victim, Louise Pennell.
We didn't have much to go on, as there hadn't been a press release.
Yes, but you wrote that her mouth had been slit in two.
That was in a letter that was sent in. I got another anonymous letter that likened your victim to somebody called Elizabeth. Elizabeth Short? You heard of her?
No.
Me neither. I haven't had a chance to look her up. To be honest, I've been sidelined by this young boy that's missing.
Do you still have the letter?
No, I don't. You know, I did call the police about it. I wasn't exactly taken seriously. Then I got the second letter. I don't have that either, I'm afraid.
Can you recall exactly what it said?
Thanks, Lex.
A woman delivers coffees.
This second letter.
Like I said, we get a shed load of crank letters every time we lead with a murder story.
Thanks. But what did this one say?
Something about how the case of the Black Dahlia was never solved.
Wait, hang on, the Black what?
Dahlia.
What does that mean?
No idea. It's just what the letter said. How it was never solved, and now there was another one, the Red Dahlia.
Was it handwritten?
No, typed. That was the roses are red, violets are blue. Who cut her mouth in two? Was it, by the way? Cut in two.
Do you know a young woman called Sharon Bilkin?
Should I?
Okay, look, could you please get in touch with me if you get any more contact from anyone? This is my direct line. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Have you had lunch?
Fun?
Oh, there's a nice pub just around the corner.
Oh, no, I've got to get back. Thanks.
How about dinner one evening?
She stops and turns to face him.
Apparently, it was a story cobbled together when they received the photograph.
What? You gotta know?
Actually, there's two of them.
Two?
It said exactly what Richard Reynolds printed in the paper.
Yeah, well, they had to have come from the killer because we never disclosed any of the wounds to the press. And the only person outside our team who saw them is Sharon Bilkin.
I'm on my way to her now.
I said they could take everything because I don't want her stuff. I got to get someone else in to pay the rent, but they've left some things in an old suitcase and I've just shoved everything into it.
Anna is at Sharon and Louise's flat.
She sold her photograph, did you?
I didn't sell it.
Sharon, this is very important. You may not feel like you're withholding evidence, but you are. Are you sure you're telling me everything? You had a folder of photographs. Sharon!
Yeah, all right. I know this bloke, Kenneth. He's done some snaps of me, a couple for Buzz. I bumped into him and we got talking. I told him about Louise. He came back here for a coffee and I showed him her pictures. I didn't think it'd matter.
Did you tell him about the marks on Louise's mouth?
No.
Will you stop cleaning for a minute, please?
Did you give the journalist anything else?
I never even met him. Kenneth gave me 50 quid. I just want her stuff removed. She was always on the scrounge pleading poverty. I mean, she'd use my makeup, my perfume. She even nicked my tampons and then deny it.
Sharon storms into a bedroom. A familiar pale blue suitcase sits on a bed. Sharon springs the latches and opens it, while Anna sits on the bed. Sharon reaches into the suitcase, then hesitates.
Is there no one who would want her things?
I don't know.
Sharon stands over the suitcase, lost in thought.
What is it? Anything you think of might help me.
Sharon looks down sadly. She goes to speak, then hesitates.
When I first met her, she was really positive, you know? Really excited about the future, but
she shakes her head.
After a couple of months, she changed. She was different, always sneaking in and out, secretive.
She takes a deep breath. Flashback, Louise sits dolled up, looking sexy, red flower in her hair, in a swanky bar.
It was always as if she was waiting for something, like every time the phone rang, she'd look towards it like she was hoping for something to happen.
She is perched on a stool, heavily made up, wearing a sexy, strapless red dress. She glances expectantly around the busy bar.
I knew something was wrong, I just didn't know what.
She closes the pale blue suitcase firmly.
I'll never know now, will I?
She clomps off, leaving Anna in the bedroom. Anna examines the suitcase, closes it, then carefully resets the latches. Flashback. A blonde-haired Louise stands on the seafront in her 1940s-style long red coat with a velvet collar. She stares out to sea, then looks back over her shoulder. A seagull flies overhead. She stands alone on a concrete terrace overlooking the rocky beach. Anna enters her apartment and sets down the suitcase. Anna, her long red hair now hanging down loosely, sorts through the contents of the suitcase, clothes and scarves. She flicks through a small book.
Harwood House Library, 1964.
She takes out another hardback book and flicks through it. She reads the cover title.
Etiquette, all you need to know about home entertaining.
She retrieves yet more books from the nearly empty suitcase. She flicks through another one and finds a folded piece of paper. She unfolds it and reads.
Dear sir, I have enclosed a photograph of myself.
I would like to apply for the position of personal assistant.
Flashback, Louise is writing the letter. Anna holds her chin, looking thoughtful.
I'm presently working for a dental practice, but I've always wanted to travel, and as I have no dependents, this would not be a problem.
She is sitting at a table at a seafront cafe.
I am able to type, but do not have shorthand experience.
A waitress removes her plate.
Working. Relap and hardworking. Please contact me on the number above. I look forward to hearing from you.
Louise reads her letter back. Anna types into a search engine on her laptop, Elizabeth Short. She clicks on one of the search results, a web page, the Black Dahlia case. Images of a dark-haired woman, victim Elizabeth Short, and crime scene and morgue photos of a mutilated female who has been cut in two. Anna gasps. Black and white images of a woman, drained of blood and her mouth slit, resembling the recent victims. Richard Reynolds is checking similar images on his laptop. At the police station.
Is he in yet?
Oh, yeah. I think he spent the night here.
Barbara, you're trying to trace the advert in the paper, right?
Tell me about it.
Well, this might help. Found it in Louise Pennell's belongings. This is part of her job application. That's her suitcase. Meant to bring it in last night.
Barbara, grab onto bacon roll. What's this?
Here's Louise Pennell's suitcase. Just brought it in. Stinks of mothballs. I'm not bagging and tagging all that lot. Get lost!
I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
The Black Dahlia case.
Elizabeth Short. She was 22 years old and was murdered in Los Angeles in 1947. Her killer was never found. It was called the Black Dahlia case.
With Langton looking at a computer screen. She reaches over him to the mouse.
Sorry, just look at these mortuary shots.
Awful.
There are even more photographs describing the exact way that she was found and a detailed description of the man that they were hunting. Come on, there's even a sketch somewhere.
Give me a minute.
He stares at the screen intently.
This LA killer sent anonymous letters to a reporter.
Louise Pennell's body was placed in exactly the same way.
A few years ago, there was a book out written by a detective who claimed that his own father was the killer. He worked for the LA homicide team.
The suspect?
No, his father. He was a surgeon. He was the police officer.
What? Look, give me some breathing space.
Langton slumps, holding his forehead.
I'm still loath to go to the press with more details.
It's just that there are two other murders. If he is copying the Black Dahlia, he could go the whole way and kill again.
You know, they never released the details of exactly how they... Yes, the Yorkshire Ripper killed.
Bacon roll, sir. No tomato.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, maybe they should have done. He murdered 11 women.
We give the press anything near the truth of this case, it will create mayhem.
Right, settle down, everybody. Settle down. This will just take a minute.
Anna. Harwood House was a children's home. It closed down about 5 years ago. From the library book, we were able to check out a Mrs. F. Pennell in Margate.
Relation?
Well, I couldn't speak to her personally. She's very elderly and bedridden. But her housekeeper, a Joyce Hughes, says she thinks she's our victim's grandmother.
Langton is waiting patiently.
Sorry, sir. I was just giving the Margate update.
She indicates the board behind him, looking nervous. He reads a handwritten report pinned up behind him. The rest of the team wait pensively.
Travis, don't bother phoning. Just get down there. In the meantime, have we had any joy in tracing this bloody advert?
Train timetable. I don't know. You get all the perks. Nice little trip to the seaside.
Barbara!
No luck, sir, but I'm thinking of applying for a job on a cruise ship.
Yeah, very funny. We find who placed this advert, I reckon it'll lead us to the only suspect we have, so come on! Move your arses. Travis.
I hope this little trip to Margate proves worthwhile.
Is it all right if I go straight home afterwards, sir?
Why, you got a date or something?
I'll call you if I find anything.
Langton smiles to himself. The seaside. Anna alights from a taxi on the seafront and enters a front garden. She looks up at a grand three-story house, then walks through an unkempt, overgrown garden up to a walled front terrace.
Mrs. Hughes. Anna Travis.
She displays her police badge to an old lady sitting smoking outside.
Follow me.
The long, white-haired lady leads Anna through a pillared front porch into the mansion.
Mrs. Pennell is expecting you, but she may be sleeping.
You worked for Mrs. Pennell long?
12 years. There used to be other staff, but now it's just me.
Give me a minute.
Lawrence? The lady's here to see you. Florence?
The housekeeper peers through an open door, then returns.
There's a bell by the door if you ring it when you're leaving. I'll be downstairs in the kitchen.
Anna walks through. An old lady in a silk housecoat wearing pearls sits by an electric fire.
Mrs. Pennell.
Sit down, dear. Have you been offered a drink?
No, I'm fine. Thank you.
She sits between two electric fires, which are on full.
Do you mind if I take my coat off?
There's some gin and tonic on the dresser. Are you from the social services?
No. I'm here to ask you about a young woman called Louise Pennell.
The old lady nods, mouths something, and closes her eyes.
Mrs. Pennell, Louise was murdered.
Mrs. Pennell sits immobile, eyes closed. She is well-preserved, wearing makeup, with smart, short, white hair. Anna reaches into her bag and leans forward with a photograph.
Mrs. Pennell. This is a photograph of her. Would you mind taking a look at it and telling me if you knew her?
Mrs. Pennell raises her viewing spectacles, which hang round her neck on a chain.
Is it Raymond's daughter?
Who's Raymond?
My son. That's him over there.
This is your son?
He married a terrible woman. A hairdresser. He died of a burst appendix. If she'd had a brain, she'd have called an ambulance. But she let him die. Heather. Her name was Heather.
Mrs. Pennell, I'm here because I'm investigating the murder of Louise. I need to know if she was here. Or if she was with anyone.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
I said yes, yes, yes. My son, I would have helped. But not that woman. With her bleached hair, common voice, cheap perfume. She was to blame. She killed him.
How does she live in that heat?
With the housekeeper in the sitting room downstairs.
I should have warned you not to bring up Raymond. She's 94, and I think our venom is what keeps her alive.
Did you know her son?
No, before my time. Lot of gossip about him. Caught with young boys up on the sand dunes. Then apparently he met this hairdresser and wanted to marry her. But Mrs. Pennell wouldn't hear of it. Cut him off. I think she was pregnant. Doubt if it was his.
That would be Louise, the child.
I think that was her name. I only met her once.
Flashback. She opens the door to blonde Louise.
Is this Mrs. Pennell's house?
Yes.
I'm Louise. I'm her granddaughter.
I'm sorry?
My name's Louise Pennell. I want to see my grandma.
If you're speaking about Mrs. Pennell, I'm sorry. She can't see you. It was last September.
9 months ago. I don't know who you are, but I've come a really long way.
I think she was after money. I'd say Florence is worth a few hundred thousand, probably more.
Well, I'm gonna answer this advert in the paper for a personal assistant. He's very wealthy. He's a writer. And he travels a lot, so I've got to get a passport. If he says he wants to meet me, then I haven't got the right clothes.
There's wardrobes full of good quality clothes that'll never be worn. So I went upstairs and got them for her.
Anything else?
The housekeeper considers.
I'd been sitting here polishing the silver when she turned up. After she'd gone, I noticed a few things missing. A candlestick holder.
Anna takes notes.
Okay, well, I'm going to need a description.
Oh. Will I get into trouble?
I know Raymond for my jewelry for that whore. And I never pressed charges.
Sad, isn't it?
But I could have done.
All this money and this huge house. And she came begging and then gets killed.
Louise strides away from the house, blue suitcase in hand. She looks back. Her grandmother stares from an upstairs window. Standing above the rocky beach, Anna stares out to sea.
I don't know how good the food is here, but I thought it'd be nice to go local. Then you can invite me in for coffee after.
Really? I've never been here before.
Always a good idea to check out your local eateries. Reason being you can get a leg lesson, totter home.
Okay, I'm gonna have the chicken liver to start and the meatballs for main. Are you having a starter?
Yeah, I'm starving. I have the avocado salad and the lamb tagine, please.
Did you get all that?
Yep.
Nah, thanks.
Thank you.
We got a breakthrough on the missing boy. They found his body in Highgate Cemetery, stuffed into a half-dug grave.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's really hard to keep your distance emotionally when there's children involved.
It's the peripheral things that take it out of you. The poor mother couldn't speak. It was in total shock. My editor rings me and says, get her to talk about the way she feels. Sorry. I didn't want to get into it. But that was why I was late picking you up.
Oh, it's okay. I just got back from Margate anyway.
Margate? What were you doing there?
Making inquiries.
About what?
Nah, I shouldn't really talk to you about it.
Anna, we're just having a nice, friendly dinner. I'm not trying to pump you for information.
I don't suppose you've received any more anonymous letters, have you?
Nope. But I've been away from my desk all afternoon.
What the letters? Were they addressed to you personally? It's only in the original Black Dahlia case. Their suspect specifically chose the journalist.
No, they were just in the mailbag. So what, you're linking the two cases now, are you?
Are you married?
Swift change of subject. No, I was. We broke up a year ago.
You have kids?
No. I had a parrot, but her mother's adopted it. Come on. Thanks. Another bottle of the Merlot, please. Thanks. Do you think your killer had medical training? I know you're not telling the press any of the grisly details, but after you left, I looked up Elizabeth Short's murder on the internet. If this Louise Pennell's case is similar, it makes my hair stand up on end.
Langton.
What's up?
It's my...
Anna covers her face with her hand. Langton sits at a table in an adjoining room and looks around the Moroccan restaurant. He double-takes as he spots Anna, her head turned away, hair hanging down. He ponders, then closes his menu and stands up.
Excuse me a minute.
He walks slowly over to the doorway and peers in.
Hi. Surprise. Or maybe not. This has to be your local. I come here a lot.
First time for me. This is DCI Langton. This is
Richard Reynolds. Nice to meet you. Dick. Enjoy your dinner.
Langton turns away, ignoring Richard's outstretched hand. Anna looks sick. Richard sits back down. Anna peers through a hole in the wall to spot Langton's dining companion. She recognizes a woman in her 50s.
It's just after it rains.
And that's his boss.
Why don't we just get coffee back at your place?
He smiles at her winningly. They walk out past Langton, who watches them go suspiciously.
You ready?
Anna, do you mind if I take a rain check on that coffee? It's just that I have to be up with the crack of dawn tomorrow, and I'll need to do a follow-up on that poor kid.
Oh, it's fine.
Bill, please.
Wait, hang on, let me...
No. This is on me.
He hands over a banknote. Anna stands uncomfortably at his side.
You okay?
Yeah. Wish I hadn't been clocked by my boss, that's all.
Can we do this again? And at a different restaurant?
She smiles sweetly.
Yeah, I like that.
At the police station.
That bloke you were with last night, the journalist?
Yeah?
I hope he wasn't pumping you for information.
No, he's just an old friend, sir.
Really? Keep your mouth shut around him, right? When we want the press involved, we rope them in. Don't go spilling any beans they're not privy to.
I wouldn't do that, sir.
How old a friend is he?
I've known him for quite a while.
Yeah, well, they're all the same as far as I'm concerned. Just be careful what you say to him.
I will, but thank you for the advice.
Hey, don't get shirty with me. Right, listen up, everybody. If we have a copycat killer, we need to be one step ahead of him. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to this. This is the LAPD sketch from 1947, the suspect. The only description we have of our suspect comes from Sharon Bilkin and the landlady, Mrs. Jenkins, so let's see how they match up. Tall, about 6 feet, possibly more, wore a long dark coat. We can put this drawing out.
It's the crime desk at the Telegraph. They reckon they've had a phone call from the killer.
He grabs the phone.
Who am I talking to?
He hunches over the mouthpiece.
Mr. Reynolds, I will be very grateful if you'd bring in a tape of the call immediately.
Did he ask for you personally?
Yes, but I didn't record that as it came via the switchboard.
It's exactly the same.
Let's hear it.
Richard loads a mini tape player.
Well, Mr. Reynolds, I congratulate you on what your newspaper's done on the Red Dahlia case. You seem to have gone silent on it, and you run out of material.
You could say that.
Maybe I can be of some assistance.
A bit muffled here. Cut me off.
It's almost identical to the call made in the Black Dahlia case.
Travis! Mr. Reynolds, I do not want the contents of this call printed in your newspaper or any reference to it. We'll send it over to the lab. It may be vital evidence. Play it again.
Well, Mr. Reynolds, I congratulate you on what your newspaper's done on the Red Dahlia case. You seem to have gone silent. You run out of material.
We got anything?
I'd say middle-aged male. Doesn't sound as if he's attempting to disguise his voice. Educated, confident, slightly upper crust intonation.
Is that it?
It's muffled, indistinct, and little background noise to pinpoint a location. This type of phonetic analysis is very time-consuming. It requires painstaking preparations of speech samples and close observation of acoustics and characteristics.
So what do we do? Shove our thumbs up our asses because it could take what? Days? Weeks?
Mike, I'm working on the adverts. I've been scrolling through them, and this one ticks the right boxes.
Novelist seeking a PA with shorthand and typing experience and willingness to travel worldwide at a moment's notice. No previous experience required.
Applicants are to be between 20 to 30 years old, attractive and well-dressed. The dates fit, admittedly drawn 6 months ago.
In Langton's office.
And? It was paid for in postal orders, bought in different post offices. One in Slough, one in Charing Cross.
Oh, he's covering his traction.
Can you please look at this sketch and tell me if it resembles the man that came to call for Louise?
Oh, similar. After you left, I had a good think about it and I've remembered something. It might be nothing, but he held his left hand to his face, like this. Maybe he didn't want me to see him clearly, but I remembered. He was wearing a very distinctive ring, quite large, with a carnelian stone, I think.
It's a bit like him, but I never really had a good look.
Whoever it was, Louise was scared of him.
Why do you say that?
The way she acted when she was going to see him. And she told me that he didn't like her to dress sexy. Demure, that was the word that she used. He liked her to dress demure. But on the night that we last went out, it was like she was sort of expecting him, because at first she didn't want to come with me.
Or did she receive a phone call or something? Something that made her change her mind?
I don't know. Oh, she might have done while I was in the bath. But she didn't wear her own clothes, she was in mine.
Not demure, then?
No. But she put on that red coat that she had.
So you said that she was wearing this red strapless dress with the sequins?
Yeah, with a pink sequin bag, that was mine.
Do you think that she was hoping to see him in the club?
I don't know. Well, maybe she wanted to dress sexy to piss him off. I'm having my nails done this morning.
Anna stares at her thoughtfully. Back in the incident room.
There's no bank account, no post office savings. She gets 150 quid a week from the dental surgery, but she pays Sharon 120 quid in rent each week, so that doesn't leave much to live on, though, does it? But there is the cash in the boot. But there's no trace of the red coat, 40 star with a velvet collar, skirts, blouses. Suitcase reeks of mothballs.
You heard we traced the advert? Well, the bad news is that the postal box and the number listed for the applicants to call, which are drawn blank so far, it's a pay-as-you-go mobile.
Right, I'm off home. Joe's already gone.
Right, wait, but you can still trace the calls made to it. We have done that, haven't we?
I'll do it.
Is the boss in? These were delivered to reception.
Yellow card with messages in cut-out newspaper headline lettering. Langton reads.
Dahlia's killer cracking. Wants terms.
The LA Examiner received an almost identical letter, sir.
He's a copycat.
That's bloody obvious, Paul. DCI Langton, I will give up on the Dahlia killing if I get 10 years. Don't try to find me. Okay, take a break. Recharge your batteries. Go on, get out. I'll deal with these. DCI Langton. Yes.
He beckons Anna back into his office.
About time. I'll send someone over to pick them up. Yes, and this is a murder inquiry that takes precedence of a few starlets getting drunk on champagne. Thank you. The club's releasing the CCTV footage. Get over there.
You hear about that girl that was murdered?
Yeah, were you not questioned already?
Nah, on part-time nights.
Right, well, this shouldn't take too long. I need you to look at these photos.
She didn't leave me a tip.
I'm sorry?
The coat didn't fit. Old-fashioned. I remember it because my mum had one.
You took her coat?
Yep. Hung it on the rail at the back. Out of system. The early birds usually are the ones that stay very late. Don't ask me why.
This is a sketch of a man we're trying to trace. You ever seen him?
I don't know if it was him. Sort of similar.
In the club?
No. Outside in the alley. We nip out there for a smoke.
Right, let's take a look at that.
He was parked opposite. Cars think they can park here at night and the wardens have a field day.
You saw him?
I didn't get a close look. He was sitting in his car.
Do you know what make of car it was?
A big car. 4x4 maybe. Very dark, but shiny. Clean. He got out of it when she came up to the passenger side. He said something and then she got into the car.
And the man looked like the one in the sketch?
Sort of, yeah. Older looking, thin face, tall. He had this long dark coat. Speaking of which, I'd better get back. There'll be coats like the yin yang.
Is there anything else? Anything else you remember?
That other girl. They came in together. She's off an ear. Naughty one she is. But she didn't stay more than an hour.
I'm not your bloody babysitter. Will you stay with me? Stay, see if you can pull. I'm leaving.
I haven't got any money, Sharon.
Oh, you never have, do you? Here, this time you can pay me back.
Flashback. Sharon storms off. Louise, in a strapless red dress, picks the thrown money off the floor.
Why haven't you come forward with this before?
I didn't think it meant anything, really. It doesn't, does it?
Dorian, you've been very helpful. Thank you. Is there a reward?
Anna stares at her and leaves. Next time, reading another message from the killer.
LP deserved to die. Another victim will pay the same price.
Body of a white female has been discovered, dumped in a field off the A4. Body's covered in a red coat.
What are you talking about?
You're investigating a brutal murder. You're a detective, you know the rules, and you've broken them.
By the time this woman's called in, Sam's scared, but she said she knows who the killer is.
Did your father ever entertain young girls like these, Emily?
ITFC audio description.
Part 2 of Above Suspicion, The Red Dahlia, continues tomorrow at 9. Over on ITV3 now, could Ash and Scribbs have a serial killer on their hands in Murder in Suburbia?